12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians are of vital and more than passing interest, because they deal with so-called charismatic gifts. The movement which is sweeping across the whole of the world. I've tried to explain to you and tried to caution you and tried to warn you to examine every new doctrine, every new practice, not only in church, but in social life and business life. Everything that's new, look at it, because practically everything transpiring in the world today is contrary to the Word of God. Now, some think the 13th chapter, that chapter which treats of the sublime doctrine of love, is misplaced. But not so with the Spirit of God. It's right where it belongs, right in the middle of the teaching of Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, concerning these things which were so disturbing to the church at Corinth. Now keep in mind, the people in the church at Corinth had written to Paul to ask him concerning various things that were troubling the church. And these Corinthian epistles were written to correct the heresies, the errors that were prevalent in the church. And one of the things that was disturbing the church at this time was the overemphasis that was being placed upon the speaking in foreign languages. Now, we're not going to get into the study per se of the doctrine of tongues tonight because of the chapter that is before us. But in due season, we will come to that. Right now, I want to read from verse 1 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You notice the word gifts is in italics, a device adopted by the translators of the King James Version to show that that word itself does not occur in the original text. To read the verse as it is in the original text, now concerning spirituals, the word is plural, spirituals or spiritualities, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Several times Paul uses that expression, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know this. I want you to know this. This is important. This is necessary. And I want you to know it. And the most interesting thing of that to me is that every time the Apostle Paul says that, he's speaking of some doctrine, set forth in the Word of God that the leaders are trying to keep the people in ignorance. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant. He says, sundry occasions. Now, it's immaterial in this particular instance whether that is translated now concerning spiritualities or spirituals or spiritual gifts, because it does treat of gifts and spiritual gifts. And they're set forth here in the scripture ahead of us. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. The dumb idols were idols that could not speak. They couldn't talk. Idols of wood, stone, mud, made by man. They neither spoke nor could they hear. But as Gentiles, not knowing the religion of the Israelites, their relationship to God, were worshippers of idols. Outside of the worship of the true and living God, all the people have proven to be idol worshippers. Now, as Gentiles, you were led and guided to worship these idols that couldn't talk. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. No man in whom the Spirit of God dwells can say anathema or cursed be the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You recall the experience of the apostles at Caesarea Philippi when the Lord said, "Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the reply came from Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which our Lord replied, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee." No man can recognize and acknowledge Jesus to be the Christ except the Spirit of Christ be in him. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." We read in 1 John chapter 5, any man confesses that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, there are diversities of gifts. The word diversity occurs many times in this chapter. He mentions three things. In the fourth verse, he mentions diversities of gifts. In the fifth verse, he mentions diversities or differences of administrations. And then in verse 6, he mentioned diversities of operations. Now, as we look at it, gifts are the capacity to do certain things. It's a gift of God. Now, whether or not the capacity to teach and minister the Word is a gift that God has given me. That's for the Lord to say. But I know this. That's the one thing that I enjoy the most of all. I'm never happier than I'm before a group of people, be it ever so small or large, breaking the bread of life. Gifts, capacity to do certain things. There are diversities of gifts. The gift to me is different to the gift to you, and the gift to you is different to the gift to this one and that one. Diversities of gifts. Now he mentions there are diversities of ministrations, which means there are diversities of opportunities to exercise our gift. Diversities of opportunities. They come from every source. They come from every angle. Many and varied have been the opportunities that have come to me to minister the Word. I was invited once while in the West to speak to a civic club luncheon, and they knew I was a minister of the gospel. I went and I carried my Bible, and I was amazed at the way they made way for me and fell back and left me alone. You know, it was kind of a strange sight to see one coming into the club with a Bible. And I felt impressed to speak that particular time on Ezekiel 38 and 39. And they tolerated me and tolerated the message. Showing they had a taste for roughness, they invited me back the next week. I've never figured out why, except the Lord was opening the door of opportunity. In the meantime, I had received a copy of Fortune magazine. This particular copy gave the results of the meeting between Russia, England, France, and the United States, in which Russia said she was ready and willing to enter into an agreement with these three nations, provided that France and England and the United States would recognize the country lying south of Russia was theirs. The land of Israel, including portions of the Mediterranean Sea. So when I went back, I hid my Bible and it had Fortune magazine under my arm. Most of them were familiar with that and they bade me welcome, and I opened that and gave the same message I did the week before. Then they came around and said, "What chapters was that in the Bible? What chapters was that in the Bible?" And they turned to it. I've been invited to speak before possibly every club I've known, possibly every type of church I've had the privilege of speaking in, or some group of them. Now here he's talking about there are diversities of ministrations, diversities of opportunity. The word of the Lord says, "Be ready at all times to give reason for the hope that you have in you." I've made it a practice my entire ministry, continuing in prayer I've made it a practice to never turn down an invitation to speak anywhere. I've spoken in the colleges, I've spoken in the high schools, of junior high and elementary schools. Every type of club and practically every church. Ladies' groups, men's groups, young people groups. There are diversities of gifts. And you have diversities of opportunities to exercise those gifts. And then he says there are diversities of working. Diversities of power. Some have more power than others. That's never worried me. The only thing that has worried me, have I done the best I could with what I had to do? That's all that concerns me. I've never tried to compare myself with other ministers or preachers, big shots or little shots. That's immaterial. I like to go home from a service like this feeling that I've done what the Lord wanted me to do, lie down and sleep the sleep of the forgiven. So he mentions here in verse 4 diversities of gift, but it's the same Spirit that gives us these different capacities. There are diversities of administrations, diversities of opportunity to exercise our gifts, but it's still the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, or diversities of working, or power. One has more power than another. Another has less power. There are diversities of those. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. And he develops that in a minute in the most blessed way. And happy are those who see it and realize it and appreciate it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Holy Spirit in me for profit unto the Lord and for me. In you, you and you. The Holy Spirit comes into an individual the minute he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes in to abide forever. Now he mentions nine gifts. These are not all the gifts. These seem to be nine of the more prominent ones existing in Corinth. There's a word of wisdom. To another, word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit, faith. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the Lord God Almighty, will. We have nothing of which to boast. Any and everything we can do for his honor and glory has been given to us as a gift. Now he mentions the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. I hear those words and expressions used constantly in television programs. To me was given the word of knowledge concerning the stock market. To me was given the word of knowledge concerning selling this. To me was given the word of knowledge concerning this. I want to anticipate just a little bit. Now, turn to the 13th chapter, and I want you to read one verse there. And I want you to get this fixed in your head and in your heart and your mind. Coming to verse 8 in the 13th chapter. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Prophecies are coming to an end, Paul says when he wrote this. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Paul writing this in about 59 or 60 A.D. says, tongues are going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The word of knowledge is going to vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth. Now, knowledge is going to cease. Prophecy is going to fail. Tongues are going to fail. All of those things. Now, when he wrote this epistle, did you hear me? I said, now, when he wrote this epistle, 59 or 60 A.D., now, he says, there are just three of those gifts that remain. Now, that's faith, hope, and love. That's all that's left of these nine gifts. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now let's turn back and consider these gifts for a minute. Because you encounter them everywhere. And if you don't have the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, if you can't heal somebody or cause their arm to lengthen or their foot to leg to lengthen, if you can't do any of those, you're missing something. And you're not living right. And God's Spirit's not on you and He's not in you. Be done with it. Be done with it. Don't let anybody rob you of your faith in the Lord. Now let's look at these gifts. Verse 8 of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. A supernatural insight into the things of God that was absolutely essential and necessary because the Bible had not been completed. Bible had not been completed. God revealed His wisdom to individuals. Now the word of knowledge. It's a little different to the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge was a gift or capacity that God gave certain ones to take the words of wisdom, the words of prophecy that had come from various and sundry apostles and others, take that word, study it, pray over it, bring out the truth, the capacity to give it. That's what it was. There are those who teach and preach that if you get filled with the Spirit, and I guarantee you get filled with the Spirit if you'll contribute regularly every month to this work, I'll see that you get filled with the Spirit. Then I'll give you the word of knowledge. And I'll tell you when to buy, when to sell. I'll tell you when to do this and when to do that, so forth and so on. Not so. Not so. The word of knowledge was a capacity for an individual to take the word of God, study it, pray over it, and then present that word of wisdom through the knowledge they had acquired by prayerful study. That's the word of knowledge. Oh, how often do we hear this? Oh, I have the word of knowledge. Somebody's being healed of a headache. Please call in. The word of knowledge. It's not that. It'd be knowledge that's going to pass away. And it's already passed away. Let's look on to another faith. The capacity to believe God Almighty and to exercise faith in God to the accomplishment of certain things. The Greek language recognized by many or purportedly acknowledged and recognized by many as the most perfect vehicle of human thought. And we have the word faith as a noun, but the Greek has the word faith also as a verb. And there were those in the days of our Lord that faithed certain things. They faithed certain things. On one occasion, the Lord made it possible for us to have a new car. Someone said, "Where'd you get it?" I said, "I faithed it." What I meant by that was, I asked the Lord for it, believing He'd give it, and He did. They faced the things. Now that's not a, I don't know if that's a gift today. I don't believe it is, but asked the Lord for it, and He granted. I don't think it was my faith. I'll show you something about that faith in just a moment. I don't claim to have any of these gifts we're talking about, because they've all gone. My concern is that greatest of all gifts, the gift of love. That's my concern, loving as I should. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Now, that was a supernatural gift where an individual could lay his hands on somebody and heal them. And He didn't say, as He laid hands on them, "If you have enough faith, I can heal you." He had the power to heal them. And He healed them with the laying on of hands, a gift that nobody has today. Bestow healing on an individual by the laying on of hands. A supernatural gift. I'm asked frequently, "Why don't you believe in a healing and healers?" I say, "Well, for one reason, there are too many sick people in the world today for somebody to be running loose that can heal them." Don't you know if I had the power to heal, I'd empty every hospital in town? Oh, well, they've got to have faith. Which led me to say, I have the power to heal anybody who has faith enough to be healed. The healing rests in the one that's healed. I've had some experiences with individuals who've spent money on these healers. While pastor in a western town, a member of our church, stricken with illness for which there's no relief, he'd heard about a great healer in Houston, Texas, that had a big red, white, and blue tent that seat about 10,000. He went down there to be healed. He'd written them. They told him where to come, where to register, and to notify him when he arrived in town. He rested in the hotel and then phoned them and let them know, and they said, "Someone will come to see you in a day or two." Finally, someone came. They had to have a deposit of so much money before they'd do a thing. He deposited the money. They said, "You come back another day." That went on and on and on. More and more money. And then they went in to heal him. But they didn't. They didn't heal him. There wasn't a thing he could do. A very famous woman healer died not many months ago. I got several letters from an individual in Florida that had been in her meetings and had been to her personally. She claims a healing. I'll own a series of meetings in Clovis, New Mexico. Coming down the elevator one day, a group of us, the elevator operator, young man about 22, 23 years old, said to me, I was the last one to get off the elevator. So that's a very happy group of people. But he had an impediment in his speech, and it was with difficulty that he spoke. I said, well, they are happy. I said, do you know why they're happy? No. I said, because they're saved and they know it. He said, I was saved once. I said, are you saved now? He said, no. I said, are you interested? He said, yes. I said, come to my room when you get off. He came to my room there in the hotel about 3 o'clock that afternoon. He'd gone to a certain healer with headquarters in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he told them what he told me. The Lord has called me to preach. The Lord has called me to preach, and I can't talk. Now, why would he call me to preach if I can't talk? And so I heard this man could heal, and I went to him. And he said they worked on me, and they worked over me, and this and that. And he said I went to other towns where he was, and I followed them. And he said ultimately they barred me from every meeting he had. They would not see me. They would not talk to me. They wouldn't do a thing for me. They couldn't heal him. They couldn't heal him. Now, there were gifts of healing. They touched them and raised them from the dead. Somebody said, what are you going to do with all of these claims of healing? I said, well, show them that the same passage of the Scripture which tells them that they can heal also tells them they can raise the dead. There have been ministers in Chattanooga that claimed they could heal and they could talk in tongues, foreign languages. I challenged one of them one day to go with me to cemetery. He said, well, I don't have that much faith yet. I've challenged others to take the rattlesnake or the copperhead and play with them. I challenge them to drink deadly poison, as the Scripture says they can do with immunity. But there were gifts of healing, and the apostles could heal. Now, if you'll stay with me through these series of these messages, I'll show you, the Lord helping me, where and when these gifts cease to exist in the church. It's set forth here in the Word of God. Gifts of healing. They could lay their hands on them and heal them. And not a one of them said, I can heal you if you have enough faith. They just healed them. I ask this question sometimes when they tell about it requires faith. How much faith did Lazarus have when Christ raised him from the dead? He was dead. He had no faith. He couldn't have faith. But let's look on a little further. To another, the working of miracles, various and sundry kinds of supernatural manifestation of power from heaven, from God, upon the disciples to another prophecy. They could foretell the future. We don't need that gift today because God has revealed in this book everything about the future He wants us to know. It's here in this book. But these individuals to whom I've been referring are not interested in what the book says. They're interested in what experience have you had. Your experience, not what God has done, but what's happened to you. Again, he says, discerning of spirits. Is it an evil spirit or the Spirit of God that's guiding me and leading me? He gave some individuals a capacity to distinguish between evil spirits and good spirits. He's given us one. Be found in the first epistle of John. If any spirit denies that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, he's of the spirit of Antichrist. If he acknowledges that Jesus is God in the flesh, he's of the spirit of God. Divers kinds of tongues. There's one word used throughout the New Testament, one word, translated tongue. And it's the word glossa, from which we get the word glossary. Glossolalia. A language known and spoken. But to certain individuals among the apostles and others, he gave the capacity to speak in a language they didn't know. And on the day of Pentecost, that vast throng of people that had come from all over the world, from every tribe and nation, it enumerates many of them. And they said, how is this? Every one of us have heard the gospel preached in our mother tongue by individuals who didn't know the mother tongue. Some think speaking in tongues or foreign languages is just a jabber. I had a lady make a confession of faith, and I baptized her in the first church of which I was pastor. She had already been a member of one Pentecostal church and then a Holiness church, and when I went to baptize her, she said, Brother Wilson, you know, some of my friends from this group or that group said this the third time. It's a charm. I hope it sticks this time. Well, it did. She was the wife of the bootlegger of whom I've told you on several occasions that was saved. But she told me, but when she affiliated with one of these other groups and they baptized her, she said, when she came up out of the water and the ministering preacher said, talk in tongues. She said, I can't. He put her under again. But before he put her under, he said, now you come up, you talk in tongues. She came up and she couldn't. He said, now I'm going to try one more time. And when you come up this next time, you just holler and shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, as fast as you can. She said, that third time I was nearly drowned. My mouth was full of water. And I came up saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord." And they all began to clap and yell and said, "Oh, she's got it, she's got it, she's got it." That's an actual occurrence. The gift of tongues. We don't see that exercise today. People going to the foreign field, they have to study the language of the nation to which they're going. And they have to learn it, and it's hard work. Along with the gift of tongues or languages was given the gift of interpreting the languages. In the church of Corinth, there were those standing up claiming they had the power to speak in foreign languages, but that nobody could interpret it. Nobody could interpret it. Nobody could know what language they were speaking. Now, those were gifts that were in the early church. And I'll tell you this for your information that you can mark it and study it as we go along. It was about the year of 60 A.D. About the year of 60 A.D. that these signs, these gifts, ceased to exist. You search the New Testament in vain for a miracle of healing, talking in foreign languages, or any of those things. You search in vain to find any of those after about 60 A.D. So how and why? I'll show you when we come together. Now, you want something to take home with you, anticipating again? The Apostle Paul evaluates these gifts, and he tells us that the lowest gift of all, the one on the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak, is the gift of tongues, or talking in languages. Now he says, if you are interested in a gift that will honor the Lord, I urge you to seek the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the greatest gift of all. Father, bless this meditation and study to thine honor and glory for Christ's sake. Amen.